You're listening to Tavern Tussle, the Dungeons & Dragons podcast that wants to help your dreams come true. Thank you all for joining us on the first and only first episode of Tavern Tussle. I am your co-host, Cam Bams.
And I am your other co-host, Karateka.
Because you can't have just one co-host. You just can't. So, today marks a new beginning. Not just for us. For everyone. Or at least the D&D community. And by this new beginning, what I'm talking about is Tavern Tussle is geared towards those people that, you know, have a passing interest in Dungeons & Dragons, have never played Dungeons & Dragons, maybe they just started playing Dungeons & Dragons kind of thing. But what we want to happen is through Tavern Tussle, not only will you learn how to play Dungeons & Dragons, you will become a D&D player. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to get more advanced as time goes on. Just, you got to follow along with us. Be happy. Be cheerful. You know, Tavern Tussle just has a good ring to it.
It does.
The alliteration is off the charts. You know what I'm saying? So a little bit about us. Karateka, you want to tell the folks, you know, like who you are, where you're from?
Okay, so I am 25 years old.
Ooh, age isn't everything.
Yeah, right? I am living in 29 Palms. I currently work as a Domino's delivery driver.
Hey, man, like, you gotta... If you wouldn't have said your age, I'd be like, yeah, man, like, you gotta start somewhere. But...
I have been in the customer service business for 10 years.
Well, hey, man, like, I worked customer service. You know, I worked at retail stores and coffee shops. I was a barista forever.
Yes, you were. I remember. I almost got a job working at freaking Starbucks.
Hey, man, Starbucks, Coffee Bean. And it's so funny is when I worked at the Coffee Bean, like, they tried to give me a raise because I worked at Starbucks before. So I made 25 cents more than anyone else there, and I couldn't tell anybody.
Like, wow.
They like you can't tell anyone. Like, no one's gotten a raise in forever. So I'm like, okay.
It's all part of that, you know, 2-year experience type deal.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Even though you can't get the experience without working a job, but you still need it.
Exactly. I don't understand how our job system works. That's why we're doing a podcast now. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so me, I'm 27 years old. I work as a cable guy, but this past August, I fell off a ladder and injured my back, so I've been out of work since then. It's been terrible, but I might have surgery coming up, so we'll see. So I was like, well, this is the perfect time to do something with my life and not just sit around moping. So here we are.
Exactly, and that's why I came along.
Yeah, exactly. See, you're my rock.
I got you.
We're like Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock.
Wait a minute. I want to be Stone Cold.
But I'm the Southern one.
But he's so much, he's like, he's just badass. Like,
well, yeah, like Stone Cold is way more badass than The Rock. That's the point.
Oh, no, let's not start this debate.
I guess you do have the goatee for
it. We're going to hurt some feelings out there.
I guess so. Whatever. I mean, talking about, you know, being badass and stuff. Like, when did you start playing D&D?
All right, so...
It sounds like you have a speech prepared. Is that an index card in your hand?
Dude, I was thinking about this, and I actually started playing when I was about 13 years old. But let me tell you why I didn't start sooner. When I was about 10 or 11, I obviously can't remember the exact age, it was so long ago, I had this friend. His name was Cody. And, how I actually remember that name, I have no idea because I haven't seen the guy or heard from the guy in, you know, 15 years or something like that. But, and I only knew him for a couple months, but that's not the point. He came along and he was like, hey, you should play this game with me. And I was like, cool, you know, what is it? Like, I love games. Like, I'm down. He's like, it's D&D. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, let's do it. And we were going to set it up, and I told my mom. And my mom was like, what do you mean you're going to play D&D?
It's the devil.
Dude, for like almost verbatim, she was like, those people worship the devil and they're killing each other. You know, things that just like are like being struck by lightning. Yeah. It's like one in a million. But to her, in her mind, everything that is one in a million, it could happen. It could happen. Like, it could happen to you. Like, Mom, you know what? You're right. I'm about to go worship the devil starting today.
Yeah, I mean...
that's what I want
to
do.
That's what moms are supposed to do. They're supposed to, like, keep you from having fun.
Dude.
I mean, my mom was great. So, I mean, she didn't let me play D&D when I was a kid. So, I completely understand. But, so, you couldn't play when you were 10, so you waited till you were 13.
But 2 to 3 years later, yes. I guess becoming a teenager was like, you know, that next step in life. And all of a sudden, there was this new game shop. It was called Cry Havoc. It had just opened. And I'm actually kind of surprised I was even there in the first place. I was super antisocial. Like, Dick couldn't. Like, talk to random people as a kid. Like, yeah. I couldn't do any of that stuff. And for some reason, I walked into this shop. I was super interested at the time in the World of Warcraft card game. Like, the actual card game. Not Hearthstone. The one you sat down face-to-face with somebody with the cards. Just like, you know.
Yeah, no, Yu-Gi-Oh, back when they actually Magic, did stuff whatever. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, after about 6 months, the owner, one of the co-owners, there was a husband and a wife, his name was Pat, he was starting this game of D&D for brand new players, people who had never played before. And of course, it was just a bunch of kids. And I was like, I want to do this. But I was also like, how am I going to do this and not tell my mom?
Yeah, that's when the secrets start, like when you become a teenager and you get that little bit of freedom and then you just like shit all over it by doing shit you know you're not supposed to do.
Exactly.
I remember those days.
But it was like, okay, you need a player's handbook. You need dice.
Can I borrow $75, please?
I'm buying World of Warcraft cards, Mom. Don't ask questions. But yeah, eventually she found out what I was doing and she was okay with it. I don't know why, but she was.
She just cried herself to sleep every night.
She dropped me off and cried in the car or something.
My poor Karateka. He's worshiping the devil.
You know, I'm just stabbing people and getting away with it. But made it out alive. But yeah, I know. We started that game. There was about 6 or 7 of us, all brand new players. We went through the process of making characters together from... you know, rolling the dice for your stats all the way to completion.
So this was like third edition, right?
3.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at that time, I also thought, because I was a kid and I was just being introduced, I was like, and it was like, this is 3.5 edition. I was like, cool, this is the player's handbook. Done. I got everything. Obviously, that was not the case whatsoever.
Yeah.
But us being so new, we just stuck to the that one player's handbook. We didn't go wild with feats and skills and
oh yeah, because 3.5 had so much in it. Like, you could custom, like, it would take sometimes like 11 hours to make one character because you're reading like 17 different books. It got crazy.
Took us about, you know, full 5 hours just to make our characters because we had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah, so you're introduced to D&D by a kid, couldn't play, and then you went to a comic store. Like, you basically took it in your own hands on a trip to play WoW cards, and you just started doing it.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great time.
See, like, my dad played D&D. Like, he would have his friend Steve over, and their buddy Scott. And Steve was, like, the dungeon master. And then my dad's friend and his friend Scott were the players. And I just remember, like, sometimes they would go over to Steve's house, and sometimes Steve would come to our house. It just depended on what was going on. But I remember one time, my dad took me over to Steve's house, and at our house, I wasn't allowed to sit around the table or anything, Because, you know, they were playing Dungeons and Dragons and there's boobs and stuff.
And you're, what, was your mom there? And she's like, you're not allowed.
Yeah, my mom was like, no. She's like, that is not for kids. I remember one time I went to Steve's house. My dad took me. And Steve had this, like, big wooden table, like, bookshelves of, like, all those RPGs and stuff. Like, he had minis and everything. And I was like, this is amazing.
It's like that first time your dad sneaks you a sip of beer
exactly
behind your mom's back.
Yeah, like I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I was loving it. And like Steve was so animated and everything, and like I remember that night because I had my Game Boy with me, but I refused to play it just because I was so interested in what was going on at the table. And like I remember this one point where my dad played this like fighter thing. I don't remember like all the exact details of it, but I just remember him getting like a critical hit. They were playing like Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. He got this critical hit with like a Vorpal blade, and it like automatically decapitated whatever he was fighting. And I was just like, that's fucking amazing. Like, I want to decapitate stuff. And then, so as we got home and I was talking to my little brother about it. Like when we got home, my mom got furious. Oh, so no. I was never allowed to go back.
Little brother.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I tell my little brother, like, I got to do this, you didn't.
No, and he's like, Mom.
Yeah,
Mom,
so I was.
Cameron in a day.
It was that moment, I was like, I need to find this game and I need to play it. My mom's not going to stop me. Mind you, I was like a 7 or 8 year old and I was like infatuated with Dungeons and Dragons.
Dedication.
Like, the only thing Dungeons and Dragons I was able to do was watch the cartoon from the 70s. Which, if you ever seen that cartoon was terrible.
I actually have not seen that
cartoon. Yeah, no, dude. Like,
from
it was
the 70s?
Yeah, it was like He-Man animation. It was just terrible voices. And it was just, I don't even really remember it. I just remember like being so in love because it said Dungeons and Dragons on it. I was amazed. The first time I played D&D was actually when I was 13. The same age you were.
Yeah.
Like my uncle on my stepmom's side, he played Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, like second edition Dungeons and Dragons.
Uh-huh.
And so he would DM for me and his son. So it was like a 13-year-old and like a 9-year-old playing Dungeons and Dragons. And it was like the most fun I'd had. And it was funny too because like me and his son did not get along at all. Like he was such like a little shit. And I was just like, man, like,
I'm going to stab you.
I was like, I can't.
I'm going to hit you over the head with this giant hammer.
Yeah, like, I can't understand. Like, but we played D&D, and like that was the first time I did it. And, I mean, yeah, it was Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, but it was still Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm like, this is amazing. And then, so, like, from then on, like, I bought third edition when it came out. Like, you know, I bought Advanced Dungeons and Dragons rule books even after the third edition came out. Like, I've played every edition. I've DM'd, like, after that first game, all I wanted to do was play. But, like, no one my age played. So, I came into the shift where I am always the dungeon master. Always.
Yep, even now.
Yeah, like, all I want to do is play, man. I mean, I did theater just to practice role-playing. Like, I was the lead in musical productions to work on role-playing, just because
exactly.
No one played D&D
so
with
me. So you could role-play all the NPCs so perfectly for all your players.
Oh my god, man. I swear. Like right now, we're playing in two different games.
Yeah.
One of which I'm DMing, which is a homebrew campaign set in the Forgotten Realms. And then I'm kind of just piecing together Tomb of Annihilation in it. Like, you guys are in the tomb right now.
Yes.
Yeah, like, but it's not like the actual story from the book. It's just you're going through the tomb and one of you has already died.
Yes.
So that's exciting. And then the other game we're playing in is our buddy Andy's game. He's DMing. This is his first time DMing too.
Yeah. And he's you know, he's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, no, he's been playing in my games for the last 3 or 4 years now. Like, I mean, because you played in some of our games a couple years ago and then you fell off the face of the planet.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, you had a baby. Stuff happens. Babies happen.
Girlfriend, baby.
Yeah.
Life.
No, but like, Andy is doing really good as the Dungeon Master. And like, I'm super impressed. Because him as a player, he's very, very, like, video gamey. Like, he min-maxes everything. He wants to do the most damage. Like, he roleplays, but roleplay is always secondary.
I don't know if I've ever seen him play. Like, the very first time we played, he was, like, a war-forged fighter.
Yeah.
Now he plays a halfling barbarian.
Yeah, now he does the voice and everything. Yeah. He's fucking all into it.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Like, it's great.
Oh, yeah, he's so much more into the aspect of the role-playing, but still, he still puts he puts effort into the damage.
Well, yeah, it's just, it was funny, like, watching him DM and then doing that first voice he did. He did, like, the Deckard Cain voice for an old man, and I'm like, I'm in. Winner. I was so excited. So, I mean, it's cool, like, we play D&D once a week. We switch off between my game and his game, which can be a headache because, like, especially, like, right now, like, you guys are in the middle of the Tomb of the Nine Gods and Tomb of Annihilation. Yeah.
You think that's a headache? I came in the middle.
Oh, yeah, you did. Well, you came back into my life.
I know. I know.
At the wrong and right time.
The right time.
Yeah.
I just like to think.
So, right you time. Actually are a player in two games.
Yeah.
So, like, in Andy's game, I play a Goliath rogue named Egon Krull Kieran Thornicle, like, which I think I did a really good job, like, because
that is, it was so well thought out, and the role playing behind it is awesome. Everybody else in our group doesn't seem to think so, but I absolutely love it.
Well, yeah, no, but the only reason they don't think so is because not only am I a rogue who does sneaky shit.
You know, you mean stealing all their gold?
Yeah, but I'm also a Goliath who has all this pride and bloodlust. So it's a weird combination. And I think the way I drew it together, like him being like a dual wielding, like swashbuckler warrior type archetype is really cool.
So he's a giant dancing assassin.
I mean, I built him to be a really smooth talker, which Goliaths usually aren't, but if you get into his backstory, like, you kind of understand why.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I based his fighting technique off of Arya Stark and her teacher in, like, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, that I was like, that makes so much sense because it's a legitimate combat technique. So he still has that, like, warrior mentality, like, I'm going to kill you.
Uh-huh.
But it's mixed with, like, Inigo Montoya from The Princess Bride. Yeah, he's got a little accent and everything. No, so I'm super happy with that character. Like, it just goes to show, like, I told Andy, I was like, hey, I don't know what I want to play for a game. I just want to play. And he was like, you're going to play a Goliath rogue. And at first I was like, you asshole. But then, like, after I spent, like, a week working on the backstory, I'm like, this is going to be the funnest character I have ever played.
I thought that concept was actually amazing. Because when you told me that's how you did it, and then obviously my next character that I actually just rolled and I haven't got to play at the moment yet, I had Andy just tell me what you want me to play and I'll play it.
Oh, yeah. What did he tell you? I never found out.
I'm playing a half-orc paladin.
Oh,
so,
okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did. I remember you did tell me because I used to play a half-orc paladin back in, like, the one game I played in the last 7 years.
And, like, it works out. I just love that I get to balance rage with justice.
Yeah, you're Judge Dredd, which you've never seen, so that doesn't matter.
It's okay. I've seen The Punisher.
Yeah, dude.
And I like to think it's similar. I like to think it's right there.
I think, you know, like, a Punisher archetype character would get along really well with this Goliath rogue that we have going on.
Just don't rob me because I have anger management problems.
We'll see. I'll dance. We'll dance. We'll be okay. We'll see who comes out on top. And just, yeah, and the other people in that party, we have my fiance playing a halfling wizard, which she really gets into.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she does.
She just started playing D&D maybe 5 months ago. She started playing with us because there was, like, a shortage in our group. So she wanted to play because we watched Critical Role on Twitch. And that's a big, like, you know, D&D game coming on with, like, voice actors and everything. So she gets really into her character. Like, she made the whole backstory and everything. Like, she gets into it. Like, things, like, that we say at the table, like, affect her almost in real life sometimes.
You mean they do?
Yeah. When she gets angry at you in game, she's angry at you in real life. And
she also is a player in both of those games. And in one game, she's a ranger with her pet
Panther.
And in the other game, she has the familiar. And my God, in game and out of game, she acts like those are her real pets. And if you fuck with them, she will cut you.
Like when her panther almost died, she started like tearing up and stuff. I was like, babe, it's not dead. I'm sorry. No, but like she really gets into it, and it's like it's great, like having, you know, a significant other that can like that role plays and plays D&D with you, because it just like, I don't know, it's like something fun we can do together. And I don't have to like take her out for this fancy dinner or whatever. Like we play D&D once a week and she loves it. Like she just spent $30 on a fancy ass dice bag.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey babe, we gotta go get groceries. And she's like, did you see this dice bag I bought? It's so nice. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I bought all this equipment for podcasting. So I bought her dice too. So she was super stoked.
There always got to be a balance. When it comes to your significant other.
Exactly, man.
You're doing something, you just gotta remember, they need something too.
They get less angry for you spending money if you also spend money on them.
Yes, if you spend more money, it doesn't matter as long as you're spending it on them. I mean, you spent some on yourself and then you spend it on them. They're like, you spent money on yourself? Like, oh, no, you got this for me?
I got this for you, babe.
That's what's important.
Yeah, I got this for you. Like, I wanted to also buy a book. So in the order I got her dice in, I also bought that book. So it showed up at the same time. I'm like, oh, we both got a little gift. Thanks. Like, totally acted like it was her idea. It's fine. It worked out.
It's perfect.
It was cool. You know. I mean, hey. I mean, that's why I play D&D. Because I look at D&D, it's almost like playing like a life simulator. If life was fair and balanced. Kind of thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, like we talked about this earlier, like D&D is like you play games to kind of take yourself into a different reality, but D&D is the only game where that new reality, it's almost like you're a different, like you are a new person. And you control all their actions and what they say and everything, but there's no limits.
Yeah, I mean, the only limits are the ones that the rules and the dice make up.
I mean, there's consequences and repercussions.
Any of the rules can be tailored to you and your group, like, by homebrewing anything.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's just one of those things where, like, if you want to be something badly in life, but something doesn't allow you to do that, you know, in D&D, like, you can become that. And then there becomes this mutual understanding, like, at the table, especially when you get a really good group that are into role-playing and into D&D, that, like, for that, you know, 3 to 6 hours you're around that table. I mean, you don't have to play for 3 to 6 hours to enjoy it, but we usually do. And, like, there's that thing where there's a moment, like, halfway through where everyone stops talking out of character and everything happens in character, and then you are those things.
Yeah.
And you get this, you know, feeling of satisfaction. Like, when something good happens, you feel it. You're like, something good happens. And then when something bad happens, like your panther almost dying, you cry.
Or when you get into a chest where you can only turn the key from the inside to
spoilers. Unlock it. Spoilers. 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 I apologize if you're a player going through Tomb of Annihilation right now. But now you know. Don't tell your DM. Cardinal rule broken number one on episode one. Sweet. No, yeah, I mean, it's just like D&D is such a movement now. Like, everyone's playing Dungeons and Dragons. It's getting, like,
really though,
more traction than ever before. Like, 5th edition makes it so well rounded and so easy to get into. Like, 4th edition was terrible. I know, like, I still have all the 4th edition books. You know, I played 4th edition when it came out. I played it for about a year, and then went back to 3.5 before 5th came out. Like, 4th edition was okay, but it wasn't what the market needed. And that's why Pathfinder got so big, because 4th edition, you know,
just wasn't there.
Exactly. So, I just think now is the time. If you have ever had even like the remotest inkling to play Dungeons and Dragons, now is the time to play Dungeons and Dragons. Because it's there for you. It's easily accessible. You can even get simplified rules online. You know, you can get the starter box for $20. For $20, you get a little adventure. You get pre-made characters. You get dice. Like, you start all that super simple. And all it takes is you convincing, you know, 3 or 4 people to play with you. And then you're good to go. I mean, even if you only have one friend that wants to play D&D, you can still do it.
Yeah.
You know, you just have... There's things to work around that. And I'm sure we'll get into that in a different episode, because two-person D&D can be just as fulfilling as group D&D. It's just some things you got to mess around with kind of thing. Like, I don't think there's anything else quite like a tabletop role-playing game. You know, like, you can't get this kind of satisfaction from a movie or even a video game to some extent, you know, like... Tabletop role-playing games are like this weird thing that only exists in themselves.
It's like literally the closest thing you can get to a full-dive virtual reality. Like, you're literally in a different world.
Can you imagine that? Dungeons & Dragons virtual reality?
Sign me up. Like,
dude, I'd shit myself at some point.
Like, if they were doing testing right now, like human testing, you have to sign like the waiver, like you could die or whatever. I'm still like, okay, cool, let's do this right now.
Yeah, but what happens when you go into that dungeon and then the giant spider attacks you and you die of a heart attack because your brain can't handle the shock?
Well, hopefully it's not like Sword Art Online and it's not like permadeath.
Right, that anime. Okay, now we're talking about anime. We're into dangerous territory. Okay. I will say the best anime to come out recently has been Dragon Ball Super, and I was super sad at the ending because it was over. It was a great ending, don't get me wrong. The ending of Dragon Ball Super was great.
Wait a minute, I thought it wasn't over. I thought it was just like a postponement.
They're going to do a movie and then it's done, apparently, from what I understand.
Serious?
Yeah, man.
Like, two of my coworkers are like huge into it, and I was told that, like, I guess... there was like a misunderstanding that they were stopped. I mean, I may be wrong. This is just what they said, but that there was a misunderstanding that they weren't stopping it. They're just, I guess, like going to do a new season type deal.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll look into it because I love Dragon Ball Super. It was way better than GT ever was. The thing about Dragon Ball Super is they were stopping it here, then they were going to do another movie and that was going to be it. But if they're doing another season, then by all means, let's do that.
If we're being honest, I need to catch up on my Dragon Ball because I am, you know,
Crunchyroll
slacking.
Man. Crunchyroll, not a sponsor. Like, we have sponsors. No. Yeah, so you've heard us ramble. We've introduced ourselves. Just so you know, Tavern Tussle is going to start with the lessons starting next episode. This episode was just kind of a primer, you know, to get in, say hello, say everything. I think the next episode we're going to do is just like a whole starting out episode.
Yeah.
Like, we'll go through, you know, what you need, where you can do it, anywhere.
Like the basics.
Yeah, the basics.
For the person starting out brand new.
Yeah. And then, don't worry. If you are a veteran of Dungeons & Dragons, you know, after a while... If you like us and sound our voices, then you can continue to listen. But otherwise, you know, after we go through some episodes, we'll start getting into more advanced stuff. And then after a while, we'll just be the Dungeons & Dragons podcast. I mean, that sounded conceited. I didn't mean the Dungeons & Dragons podcast. I meant, like, it'll just be, like, another Dungeons & Dragons podcast like usual. You know, news notes around the space. That kind of thing.
But your favorite.
Yeah, sure.
We'll see. With your favorite people.
We'll see. Only time will tell. Well, thank you very much for listening to the first and only first episode of Tavern Tussle. I have been Cam Bams.
And I am Karateka.
And we hope the dice are always in your favor and that you don't roll double ones. We'll be right back.
You can contact us at taverntussle@gmail.com or on Twitter @taverntussle.